Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
God bless you, Blood River Radio family, for tuning in. We have had this one hell of a show. I'm really enjoying this. I really am. It's just nice and laid back for me because we have such wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people come on and do the heavy lifting. Now, we're transitioning into the third hour. We have my brother, your friend, your fighter, your warrior for you out there, people. We have none other than the bitter ender, the still bitter, more than bitter, more than ever, more bitter than ever, Gene Andrews. He's coming in. He's going to play the part of the musician tonight. He's going to play some music. See, anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's okay with everyone, I wanted to give our listeners a musical tribute to a very talented musician that we have on the phone, a world-class violinist, Monica Schaefer, and we have an old fella down here that just passed away last year in Tennessee. He's a pretty fair fiddle player, and so I would like to play this musical tribute to Monica, and we'll start it off with Welcome to the Volunteer Jam. We know that all the good people down in Tennessee are digging Barefoot Jerry in the CDB, so would you welcome, please, from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, the Charlie Daniels Band.
All right.
It's Jim Coates. Say the Confederate money. Be proud of your rebel because the South's going to do it again.
All right. Wow.
Now, Eddie, I think that's a pretty good way to start off a show.
Hey. I'm getting ready to go dancing. Y'all just take over. Take us out.
I was just going to say, it's pretty hard to sit still to that. I love the Charlie Daniels
Okay.
Band. Oh, that was great. Thanks, Gene, for doing that.
Glad to.
Yeah, that was great. That's a welcome. We always have a great variety on Blood River Radio. That's a great spirit lifter upper. I'm telling you, I really enjoyed that.
I was there when they recorded that. That's second volunteer jam. It was at the Murphy Center at MTSU in Murfreesboro, and I was a big Charlie Daniels fan. I went to the first volunteer jam. That was at the War Memorial Auditorium there in Nashville. And then that was the second one. And then all the ones after that were down at the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville. But, yeah, that was, I think, 73, 74, somewhere along in there.
Wow, so. That's historic. That's great, well, Gene.
You're a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, too, if I remember right. Gene.
Oh, I liked all the Southern rock. Allman Brothers, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and, of course, Charlie Daniels and Marshall Tucker Band and Elvin Bishop. And let's see, what were some of the others? Little Feet and Dixie Chicken.
Wow.
So I liked all of those. So I will turn it back over to Monica after we had our musical tribute there. And anything that you would like to cover from the previous hour, I know you're probably talking about what Alfred had gone through with the Vopo, arresting him again, and what he's been put through. So if you want to continue with that and pick up anything that we need to continue in this third hour, please do it.
Yeah, and I know you had some very important topics too, Gene. So I'm sure this will just fly by probably too fast. So, but first, before we get into those things, I do want to give a shout out to the listeners, and in particular, there are some loyal listeners, and one in particular, Rich Hamblin. And my understanding of it too is that he is a great fact checker, and we do appreciate real fact checkers, not like those fake fact checkers that come onto, you know, the social media feeds where they try to hide the truth. No, this would be a real fact checker, and making sure, keeping us, you know, on our toes, and making sure that we get things right. And so I'm making a shout out to Rich Hamblin. Thank you very much for being a loyal listener. And yeah, that's what I wanted to say too. So, okay.
Well, Rich is great. He really is. I've been very privileged to know him for quite a number of years and been on some trips with him. And in fact, we were in the Battle of Charlottesville. And Rich is just great. Of course, he enjoys giving me a hard time. But anyway, that's okay. There's a long list of people that do that, so that's all right.
Well, speaking of Charlottesville, and I know that was the last for
Thank
this
you,
year.
Monica. I know Rich appreciates that.
Oh,
Rich,
that's
really
nice.
Appreciates that. Rich, Rich is one of your number one fans, I am. Everybody is. We love you. That's for dang, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed.
And he said, I have one question before you go forward. Gene, I have a question to ask you. This comes from the fact checker. He wants me to ask you about Barefoot Jerry.
Oh, that was a Southern rock band, yeah. It was all through that era of the 70s. There were a lot of them. I was trying to think. They didn't have a lot of hits. What was that? They had an album, I remember. It's called Watching TV with the Radio On. And they had a TV screen with just the lines of static across it, and a guy laying there barefoot with a big bandage tied around his big toe. And I remember that from the cover of the album. So that was, that was Barefoot Jerry. And I can't remember any of the members that were on there. But, there were a lot of them, like Wet Willie and Barefoot Jerry and Little Feet. And, of course, Marshall Tucker Band up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And the fellow Marshall Tucker that they named their band after passed away this year. He had a warehouse there, and that's where they would go to practice. And they had two or three names for the band, and they couldn't think of a name they wanted to use. And they said, "Well, do you mind if we just use your name?" He said, "Sure, I don't care." So that's where Marshall Tucker Band came from. It was an actual individual. And, of course, Leonard Skinner, that was the PE coach where those boys were in high school, and he gave them so much grief about their long hair that when they got a band and started making playing a lot of slots or a lot of places, they called their band Leonard Skinner, but they changed the spelling.
No kidding.
It didn't have all the Y's in it like it has in the Leonard Skinner Band. So, it's interesting.
He was the coach.
Stories. Huh?
He was their coach. Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, he gave amazing. All kind of grief about their long hair, so that's why they called their band Leonard Skinner, and then changed the spelling of it. They put all those Y's in it instead of L-E-O-N-A-R-D, or however you would spell Leonard, or however you spelled his name. But anyway.
All those bands you mentioned, I do have very fond memories of dancing my feet off to all of their music.
Oh, great.
So good. Yeah, so good.
Well, I actually got to meet Charlie Daniels a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
He and my brother and Dr. Pat Evans. Well, my brother and Dr. Pat Evans had this sports medicine program in professional rodeo. And then after a few years, they went with Justin Boot Company as the sponsor. And then the Justin Boot Company started a program called the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund. And it was for rodeo cowboys that got hurt a lot worse than what we could take care of in just our first day, like ones that got killed in the arena, or were crippled in a rodeo accident or something like that. And Charlie Daniels would always play every year at this big fundraiser they had up in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, to raise money. And, of course, he wouldn't charge a dime for doing that. All that money went to the cowboys that were really seriously injured, or to their families if they'd been killed in the rodeo arena. So he was a great, great, great individual. Very, very personable, a lot of fun to talk to. and just a super great person. We sure missed him. He passed away last year, and really a great loss to lose somebody like that. So anyway, that's my backstory.
Well, that's really nice. Thanks. It was total surprise and really nice. A good surprise.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, before we go to the break, got a little anecdotal story. My brother-in-law, rest his soul, if he was alive, he'd be 20 years older than me. He treated me like I was his kid. When we went deer hunting, he always kind of was the marshal, the forest ranger. But he was in the Navy, tail end of World War II. And he was hung in with some good old boys from Oklahoma or New Mexico someplace. And they talked him to get into the rodeo. I guess the Navy and the Marines had a rodeo some damn where. And he said he thought he would ride the bunking Broncos because there would be a gentler ride than the bulls. He said, no. He said those Broncos would just jar your guts out. He had to learn the hard way. They talked him in, you need to get on a Bronco. We don't want you to get in one of these hard bucking bulls. And they would sleep on the road. He said there was some tough old boys on leave. They didn't get a bus. They didn't waste money on transportation.
Uh-uh.
He went home with them. Those were sailors and Marines. They would sleep on the side of the road. He said it was the most miserable damn leave he ever had. And he grew up rough in Arkansas during the damn Depression. And so if they were hard on him, they had to be murdered on somebody like me, I'm telling you. Get ready to go to a break any second, y'all. So when we come back, there's the music. We come back. I guess get old Monica on, let her uncork and finish what we didn't finish the second hour, and then we'll bring old the bitter ender in. Be right back, folks.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
A Bienes is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were having such a marvelous time tonight. I hope you people are enjoying the program. It's so great to have a little levity every now and then. But you know what? The Southern rock they've been talking about is part of our history. They don't call us Southern for nothing. We're all Southerners here. At least Southern is a state of mind, a state of the heart. Anyway, with that, folks, we're going to go right back to Sister Monica. She's going to tie up any loose ends, anything she didn't cover the second hour, and of course the bitter ender will come in and do commentary on that. So take it away, Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice to have something a little bit lighter. So thanks for that, Gene, to bring some of those comments and music into that first quarter there. But so in the first hour, you were finishing up this year's tribute and the shows about the Charlottesville, what happened there. And I have to say, I learned a great deal. I did listen to quite a few of the hours that you had in the last few weeks about Charlottesville and today's as well. And I learned a lot about Charlottesville. And wow, it is really important to understand and know what went on there and what's going on in this war against our people. And one of the things that struck me today, because your guests were talking about the justice system, the things that happened in court and how absolutely corrupt and inverted, perverted the trials were. And all the time it was reminding me of, guess what? The trial that we had in 2018 in Germany, you know, this the Schaefer sibling trial, where we were being charged with, you know, this Holocaust denial law that they have. And in that trial, every day they proved to us that they, meaning the judge, the prosecutor, the whole system, they were the criminals, not us. I mean, it made us very joyful. It made me very happy. I was just full of joy. And every time after a trial day, and then I was talking to my friends in prison the next day, and I was just full of joy. And they wondered about that. How could you be full of joy? I knew it wasn't going to help us, but I was full of joy because they proved to us what criminals they were. They proved to us that we have truth on our side by their actions. And I don't want to go into the details of that now, but I just have to say that when they were talking about the Charlottesville and all the aftermath of that, it's exactly the same. I mean, I just give two examples of what happened in our trial. It was illegal for us to present evidence before the court that would support our conclusions, that just evidence on our side. Now, you would think that when you go to court, you know, the old image of the weigh scales, and one side gives the evidence, the other side gives their evidence or their arguments, and the judge makes a decision, weighs out the evidence. No, it was illegal to even present evidence that would have supported our conclusions. And then the other thing is that it had nothing to do with facts and evidence about what happened or didn't happen during World War II. It only had to do with what the law says, and that we might have broken a law. And I would say that the best illustration of that is what the judge said at the end of Ernst Sandl's trial. And that was a number of years back in Germany. At the end of that very prolonged trial, the judge said, it matters not if the Holocaust happened or not. What matters here is that you are not allowed to question it, and you broke the law. And that was reported in even the mainstream media newspapers. That is what the judge said. It matters not if the Holocaust happened or not. So there you go. I'll just, that was my segue from what you had been talking about in the first hour there, and I'm going to hand it over to Gene. And I know that Gene had some things that he wanted to present.
Well, Monica, that right there, that sentence or that statement that you gave us, to me, down through the years, has always stuck in my craw, or however you want to say it, stuck in my mind or stuck in my irritation with this. If the Holocaust hoax actually happened, why do you have to pass a law to make it illegal to question the numbers in there? That's all they're asking about, is the numbers, you know, and the scientific evidence from these supposed gas chambers, that the scientific evidence doesn't back that up. So if something is true, you don't have to have a law to defend it. Truth will stand on its own. A lie needs laws to say, if you question this lie, we're going to throw you in the slammer. And so by admitting what that judge did, the facts don't matter. All we care about is if you said something that we decide is illegal, then you're going to jail. So that right there tells you that the Holocaust hoax is fake. It's a phony. It's made up. The numbers are made up.
Well, it's not just, yeah.
The gas chambers were made up.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's a lie. And by doing that, they've proven to people that have an open mind, and that eliminates about 99% of the people in the government in this country anyway. Anybody that has an open mind would say, well, wait a minute. If you have to have these draconian laws to throw people in jail for trying to present scientific and numerical evidence, then that proves what you're trying to cover up is a lie.
Exactly.
It's just obvious as the nose on your face it is. And
so, Gene, that's right. Last night I had a question from a young child, maybe 10 years old, and this child had seen my book, read the first couple of pages of it, and then looks up at me with big eyes and says, why did you go to jail? And so I answered to the best of my ability, and it was, to me, I hadn't thought about this before, that this was going to happen in that moment. So I just answered in a way that was, you know, I just said, well, you know, there's something in history that they tell us we're supposed to believe one way, and they tell us that if we don't believe that way, that's against the law, and you know, something like that. I can't even remember exactly how I answered, but then I was thinking about it all night and all morning, how I would answer this question to a child who asks innocently, why did you go to jail? And I would just say, so lawmakers have decided that they want us to believe something happened in history, just the way they want us to believe it. These lawmakers decided that if we don't believe the way they want us to believe the story, then we are breaking a law. And you might ask, does that make sense? Because a child thinks very clearly, and they might be very puzzled by that, just the fact that there's a law in place to put something that happened long ago, to enshrine it, into somehow, you know, make it be written in stone or make that happen. So something either happened or it did not. What are we doing thinking that we should make a law, or we, you know, the generic we, that the lawmakers should make a law to say something happened? Either something happened or it did not. Why is this even being discussed by lawmakers? And like you say, Gene, if they're making a law to put something in history to try to make it fact, no amount of laws is going to make something a fact that isn't a fact. Something either
exactly
happened or it did not. And that's it. That's as simple as it is. So to explain this to a child, this is something very important. I think we need to do this and think about this. How do we explain this to a child? Because their logic, unaffected, you know, senses are going to say, huh? Like, what do you mean make a law about something that happened? So, yeah, just simplify it like that. Like, if they have to make a law about something in history, then you can bet it's a lie. Because if it happened, you would have evidence to show it happened. But they don't even allow evidence in the court.
No.
They just say that's how it is. You better believe it. Otherwise, you go to jail.
No. Well, their whole argument is on such shaky ground. The other argument they have is you can't argue with that because everybody knows that this happened. And that doesn't stand, because at one time everybody knew. I mean, everybody knew that the earth was flat. And people who said that the earth were round were heretics. And they were condemned, excommunicated. Some of them were even put to death for saying that the earth is not flat, it's round. And so that argument finally died out. And then there was a time where everybody, and I mean everybody, knew that certain women were witches, and they were burned at the stake in Europe. And in this enlightened country, in the enlightened northeast of this country, women were hung as witches. And we don't have witches anymore for that. Well, no, wait a minute. I take that back. That's a bad argument. We've got Nancy Pelosi, we've got Maxine Waters, we've got Kamala Harris. Okay, that was a bad argument. Okay, but let's go back to the earth. Everybody knew the earth was flat. Okay, all right, that's
folks,
a good argument
quick
there.
Break. Got that music. We're going to go cool. Quick break. Folks, be right back after this message.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm John Schaefer. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is ordering flags lowered to half-staff Saturday at the U.S. Capitol. In a post on X, McCarthy said he directed the move to honor the 13 brave American heroes who died tragically during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan 2 years ago. Republicans have strongly criticized President Biden's handling of the sudden U.S. exit as the Taliban seized control of the country in 2021. Civil rights groups are in the nation's capital marking the 60th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic march on Washington. Martin Luther King III said it's a continuation of his father's fight for civil rights.
And we're coming together to say we must create the climate for America to move in a forward direction, not a backward direction.
75,000 people are taking part in today's march and rally. Several people were killed in a mass shooting in a Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida. Law enforcement surrounded the building, indicating a standoff. The shooting believed to have been random. Authorities are not speculating about the reason behind it or the perpetrator's identity. A shooting at a high school football game in Choctaw, Oklahoma, left one person dead and three injured. Choctaw Police Chief Kelly Marshall.
We have a huge amount of people to talk to, anybody that could have witnessed it. We have students, we have band members, things like that, that we need to get their names, talk to them. Did they see anything?
A 16-year-old boy died. Three other victims were treated at a hospital and released. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu speaking out after a shooting injured seven people at a parade Saturday morning.
Treasured community event has been disrupted by acts of violence from those who had nothing to do with the event, and there's no excuse.
The shooting happened during the Jouvert Parade, which is part of the city's Caribbean Carnival. Bob Barker being remembered as the most popular game show host of all time. He passed away at his home in Los Angeles Saturday at the age of 99. This is USA News.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-215-2418. 800-215-2418. 800-215-2418. That's 800-215-2418.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're having such a marvelous, marvelous program tonight. I'd just like to make this couple of quotes I have on my wall. And this totally relates to what we're speaking about. We're talking about history and the truth. When the judge in Monica and Alfred's trial told them that it didn't make the truth, it's not what matters. It doesn't matter even if the government knows, for instance. I'm putting words in their mouth, but that's what they said. It doesn't matter if everybody and his mama knows that the Holocaust was fake. That doesn't matter. It's the law is you cannot say it was fake. You have to agree with the government's line, the established line, that the Holocaust is real and 9 billion Jews were roasted alive, you know, and we made lampshades out of them and stuff like that. That's what they went to jail for. It was not talking about a lie. They were exposing the truth. And here's a statement on my wall. This is uttered by General Nick Glasnevik, one of my guys I really look up to, May of 2021. He said, an unspoken truth is worse than a lie. And he also said that apathy is the new atheism. He said that in the next month in June. And he also said that history is written by the victors, but the truth written by the fearless, a.k.a. Alfred and Monica Schaefer. They spoke the truth. They were fearless, knowing damn well they were going to go to jail. Alfred stuck his thumb in the eye of Satan, and that's why he's in jail, and that's why they hate him. Back to you, Sister Monica.
Oh, you know, just something about the reason Alfred went to jail for 6 months this time, and I didn't say that before when I was talking about him. It is unbelievable. I mean, Alfred himself says, oh, well, they want us to win because they could have taken any number of more serious things to charge me with, like, you know, more serious crimes, as in speech crime, as in words that he has said that they don't like. But no, he did a gesture in the courtyard of the last jail he was in. And this all took place probably about 2 years ago by now, this little incident. And he was in the courtyard with one other prisoner because he's on isolation mode. And they don't have enough hours in the day to give everybody isolation, you know, their own hour in the courtyard. So there was him and another guy, an Afghani prisoner. And, of course, they tell each other what they're there for. He was explaining that, you know, he was doing this little gesture, basically showing how high his dog Pavlov can jump. And it's called the old Roman salute. And the guard, he starts getting all up in arms and say, oh, Herr Schäfer, there's Hitler salute there. And his buddy, the other prisoner, he pipes up right away. He says, oh, no, he's just showing me how high his dog Pavlov can jump. But the guard did not take kindly to it. And that ground its way. It went through the system. It took this long. And now he's serving 6 months in a cage for making this open arm, straight arm salute, this gesture, which they are so afraid of in Germany. You know, this gesture apparently is so dangerous that earns him 6 months in a cage. Meanwhile, you've got other folks just, I mean, the disproportionality of it, like, you know, rapists who basically get off with a lighter sentence than that because somehow it's in their culture or whatever, these, you know, all these new Germans, this kind of thing. So I won't belabor that point, but that's it. That's what he's serving time for now, is this open arm, the old Roman salute, which actually symbolizes I come in peace. You see, I'm not carrying arms. My arm and my hand is open. So
I have a quick question, Miss Monica, and I think I've asked you this question before, but I think it bears repeating. In your opinion, I know there are just massive, uncontrolled immigration into Europe and probably into Germany, but do you think in your heart is that good, rare German blood still there? And if it is, is it possible, in your opinion, it could be awakened and that blood, once aroused, could become so mighty, rise to such a level, it would crush the evil system that's oppressing Germans and brainwashing them. And I guess the same thing could be said about here in this country. Are we ever going to stop taking the crap from this bogus criminal cabal in Sodom on the Potomac, a.k.a. Washington, D.C.? Sooner or later, we're going to have to realize we're going to lay it all on line. It's them or us. It's the cemetery or the gulag. Without getting off track, I'll go back to the original question. Is the German genetics that was there under our brother Adolf Hitler, have they been completely killed out like in the war? Or do you think there's enough there that a charismatic spiritual leader like our brother Adolf Hitler came along could... Are they beyond being aroused?
No, they're not beyond being aroused. Never, not. They can rise up again, and we will rise up again. You know, we have been down before, and it seems like sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before getting up again. I mean, just think about a little analogy. Somebody who's into drugs and alcohol to the point that they lose everything. They lose their family, they lose their home, they lose their job, they're out on the street, and then something clicks for them and they decide to pick themselves up. And afterwards, you know, maybe they make a really good life and they kind of start over, and then you talk to them, and, you know, what made you turn around? And they will say, I had to hit rock bottom. And then they turned it around. Now, that doesn't happen to all of them. You know, many will just succumb to those addictions and whatnot, but we will rise again. We will rise again. So never give up. Never, ever. I mean, then we might as well just stop everything that we're doing right now and just roll over. So, yeah,
we agree with Monica, to our last breath. During the Weimar Republic, Germany did hit rock bottom. And
exactly.
So many of the Rothschilds and the other, charlatans and the money lenders and usury and all of that had come in and just destroyed the German economy. And homes, farms, and businesses had been in families for generations were stolen away from them. And they were pretty much just living on just borrowed time. I've read those stories about people would ask off from work and take a wheelbarrow full of marks to the store to buy food, because if they waited until 5 o'clock when they got off from work, they wouldn't have enough to buy food with. The economy was that bad. And so that's where they got it turned around, and it got so bad. I don't think we've really hit rock bottom over here in this country yet. We've got a corrupt, rotten regime in Washington. It'll be interesting to see what happens during this next election and coming up in 24. But I've had a friend of mine that said, as long as Americans have got their three B's, their bass boat, their ball game, and their beer, they're not going to really change a lot. They can gripe a lot about how rotten the government is, but they really won't do a lot to change it. So I've always said that when an economic collapse hits this country, and maybe Canada too, hits the Western Hemisphere, there's when we will have a change. When people, they're losing their homes, they're losing their businesses, they don't know where the next meal is coming from, that will start a change in getting rid of the rotten government that we have and throwing these bums out and trying to get some decent people in here. And I know that Dr. Hill and a lot of the people, Eddie, that you have on from the League of the South, Mark and all of those, say that we need to separate and get away from this rotten government. It really doesn't matter who's elected in Washington. It's going to be corrupt and rotten because of the bureaucracy that's in place. And then, I hope that someday the German people and the American people and the Canadians will be able to throw off the yoke that we have placed on our necks and being ground into the ground by rotten governments in Europe and North America as well. So it's a hope we have. I hope I live long enough to see that day coming. But you never know. It's just, we don't know if it's gotten bad enough to get the majority of the people to rise up against the government.
I think you're right that it's going to get worse before.
I think it'll have to.
Yeah, it does. It's true. And during those terrible times after World War I, many, many, many Germans were committing suicide, that many starved. There was great suffering. And like you say, they did hit rock bottom at that time. So when Adolf Hitler came along, and it was through a lot of hard work, it didn't just happen by magic, but through a lot of hard work that he did pick the people were able to rise and pick themselves up. And he facilitated that. He enabled that to happen. And that became a very joyful, prosperous, happy country in those six glorious wars before World War II.
We come back. Rich said Weimar was only four. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, y'all. I'll make this announcement during the break.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio, precious Blood River Radio supporters that keep us on the air, we have a handful, a core of loyal people that follow us, donate us. It's not just Blood River Radio. I was afraid it was just us. But throughout our, I won't say industry, throughout our brotherhood, anybody that's in ultra-right-wing radio, like you take Blood River Radio, Political Cesspool, you name it, I was talking to some people today and said, hey, our donations have just dried up. I wonder if I'm pissing the people off because of this reason, that, you know, people want you to do this, people want you to do that. And I was just telling Sister Nancy tonight, I have zero interest in going into identity, the lost tribes of Israel. I said, I know this may be an aside. I don't give a damn about the lost tribes of Israel. I don't want to be a Jew. But we said, no, everybody's. Our donations have dried up. I'm not crying for donations. I'm just saying I'm relieved. I thought, well, I must be pissing off everybody. But we have a handful of people that have really come through, and they keep us on. And I would very much love to thank those people. I'm planning something right now. I've talked to Gene about it some time ago. I want to do something special. If we stay on the air, if things keep going, keep our head above water, I want to do something for the Blood River Radio supporters, hopefully next year. But anyway, that's just an aside. Dear Brother Gene, if you want to, you can address that question I asked you. It has to do with the Weimar Republic is in time compared to World War II or anything else you'd like to do. This belongs to you and Sister Monica. So go ahead, Gene.
No, the Weimar Republic was collapsed. I mean, it just was total. And the thing that people don't realize about Chancellor Hitler, when he came in, not only did he straighten out the financial mess, he straightened out a lot of the morality in Germany. And they show all these pictures of these German soldiers and German officials burning books. And they were talking about, oh, it's a terrible book burning. Well, now, what he got rid of was the pornography that was rampant in Germany. And they had these clubs or cabarets, whatever you want to call them, where men would dress up like women and women dress up like men. It was just a total debauchery. And that's what they were burning, was pornographic material. They weren't burning Aristotle or, Nietzsche or whatever, or any of the Greek philosophers or anything like that. He was cleaning up the country, and they were giving bonuses to women that would have children. They built the Autobahn system, and I read where Hitler looked at Chancellor Hitler looked at the people being packed on these trains to go on holidays. It looked like a bunch of sardines packed into these railroad cars, and he said there's got to be some way for people to travel without having to depend on only one mode of transportation. Of course, airlines hadn't gotten to the point then back then where they were flying a whole lot of people, so he came up with this highway system that Eisenhower was over there, our general, that over there, tortured and murdered thousands of German prisoners after the war, great humanitarian, And he came up with this idea of importing the German Autobahn over to this country, and they called it the Interstate Highway System. And you see all these signs around the country for the Eisenhower Interstate Highway System, and I'm saying, heck no, it's the German Autobahn that have, you know, no crossroads and no stops. You know, you have limited access or controlled access onto these main roads. So, you know, another idea we've stolen from someone else that had a better idea at first. So it's, and the way the history is presented, it is so skewed and so repulsive. And unfortunately, the German people have just been picked out as villains. And they had that nonsense on here yesterday. I was channel surfing across it, and they had that The Longest Day about the landing at Normandy. And, you know, the Germans were portrayed in that movie as a bunch of buffoons that were just stumbling around and couldn't believe that the Allies had actually landed on the coast of France. And yet it was the German army that kicked the living daylights out of the Russians, the British, the French, the Belgians, and had controlled pretty much the continental Europe until the Americans jumped in there and bailed out the Russians with all the equipment, and then bailed out the Brits and the French. And, you know, unfortunately turned the tide of war in favor of the communists. And I think, and a lot of other people do too, that that's why our general, George Patton, was killed by our own government. Because after the war, he said, we butchered the wrong hog. We should have been fighting on the side of the Germans against the Bolsheviks. And they had that fake car wreck that he was supposedly killed in. And from the damage to the car, it looked like somebody backed out of one parking spot and the person backed out of another, and they bumped their rear bumpers together, and that was about all the damage to the car, but he suddenly died in that car wreck. So I think, besides just the whole hoax, there's a lot of history that, as Monica said, is, and or I think your quote was too, Eddie, that history is written by the winners, and it glorifies and covers up all the illegal acts that were committed by the winning side, and glorifies what they should have been chastised for in going to some of these wars.
Yes.
And Churchill said, the first casualty in war is always the truth. And he ought to know, because he lied England into a war against Germany. And thanks to Rich, he gave me that book, the autobiography of von Ribbentrop, Joachim von Ribbentrop, who is the German foreign ambassador. And that book, chapter by chapter, tells how many times he went to the French, he went to the English, he went to the Polish government and tried to negotiate some kind of peace, and they turned him down. And the British ambassador flat out told him, no, Churchill wants a war. He wasn't prime minister then. He was head of the Admiralty. He said he wants a war because the British are afraid of Germany being an economic power on the continent in Europe. And when I read that, it just shocked me to think that this drunken cigar-chomping bum would engage in a war that would kill thousands and thousands and thousands of young men, plus civilians, innocent lives that were civilians, just to be have economic control over the continent of Europe. And that is just absolutely appalling. But that's what it was. And I know that that book that I subscribe to, that magazine I subscribe to, the Barnes Review, the politically incorrect version of history is
yes,
their title
great
across
book.
The front there.
Great
book. And they had an issue one time that listed in there, and I wish I had saved it. I gave it to somebody, and I should have copied it out. It was about two pages, and it gave the dates from the early 1930s all the way up till after 1940. Of how many times Hitler had tried to negotiate a peace with England and France and Russia. And they all turned them down because they didn't want Germany to be an equal power to them, or they didn't want Germany to be the sole economic power on the continent of Europe. They would rather sacrifice their young men and have them slaughtered just so that England could maintain its world domination. You know, the sun never sets on the British Empire kind of nonsense. So that is just, you know, mind-boggling. And then, of course, at the end of the war, the Allies murdered von Ribbentrop at Nuremberg because they didn't want him alive with all of this information that was written down and the dates and times and who he met with and what was said. they didn't want that to be exposed and show what a lie World War II had been. So they had to eliminate him. So he was murdered as a war criminal. And before he could get all this information out, and this book has just recently been translated into English, and it should be required reading to find out how much we've been lied to over these last 40 or 50 years, and what really happened and why we were suckered into that war. We were suckered into World War I. And I've read where even the Gulf of Tonkin resolution that got us into Vietnam.
Oh, man, yeah. That's our war.
Was it? Well, yeah, the ones we were in, McNamara and General Giap, the North Vietnamese Army, got together, and they laughed about the Gulf of Tonkin and what didn't happen there. And yet Lyndon Johnson told the Congress that we needed to increase our military operation, and Congress needed to give the president unlimited power to send troops into Vietnam, which he did, and got bogged down in a war that he had no way to figure out how to win or how to get us out of. So they were laughing about it. You know, the McNamara, they call that bunch the best and the brightest or some nonsense like that.
Yes, they surely did.
They were laughing about it. I think the parents and brothers and sisters and the wives of the 58,000 that were killed in Vietnam would not be laughing about that. I just have a gut feeling that those people, their relatives, aren't laughing about that at all. So it wasn't the greatest generation that was lied to and suckered into a war. Our generation was suckered into a war as well. And
it
then,
sure,
you know, we've got them going, all of our adventures in the Middle East that we've undertaken, and basically just been based on false flag issues and lies. So the German people weren't the only people that were lied to. We were lied into a war to fight against the Germans. And like Patton said, we were on the wrong side. So.
Yeah, fantastic summary there. And, you know, just to tie it back to the first thing that you were talking about there in this little piece is the book burning. And what I've learned about book burnings, again, the truth is so opposite of what they have told us. Yeah, they're always talking about, oh, those Nazis burned the books. And like you pointed out, this was pornography. They were cleaning up all this degenerative stuff. And guess what books really were burned? Like World War I, in United States of America, all kinds of German books and textbooks were being burned, and schools were forbidden from teaching German classes. All kinds of book burning took place there, but it was against the Germans, like German history. And then after World War II, thousands and thousands and thousands of German books were being burned, like German history, German cultural stuff was being burned by the good guys, supposedly the good guys. So really another story completely inverted.
Yes.
And well, so I just wanted to add that.
Well, we were suckered into fighting the war to make the world safe for democracy. That was the big slogan this time around. And all it did made the world safe for communism. I mean, we were the perpetrators of giving Eastern Europe to the communists, and that Yalta conference. Roosevelt was dying, and you know, he's about almost as senile as Sleepy Joe Biden is today, and agreed to give away all of Eastern Europe to the Russians or to the Soviets. And so, you know, that's what our boys laid their life on the line for, is to turn over Eastern Europe to the communists. That was a good move. So, anyway.
You know, Rich says...
Go ahead.
You mentioned Patton earlier. He said that Patton, of course, I figured this much, but something I didn't know, Patton was really, really about to get vocal. He was going to go loose. And he said they killed him in the hospital by his son, Rudolph, who lived to his 90s, a real stinking hero. And then also, you talked about how many times Hitler tried to go to peace to the British, to the French, to the Poles. He finally gave up and signed with Stalin. Here's the thing right here, and I agree with y'all. The Allies banned more books than the Third Reich ever did. China, too.
Yep. Yep.
So, thank you, Rich. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Sis, little Lizzie, Miss Teenage America. Thank you, Sister Nancy. Thank you, Sam and Dr. Hill. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you. Thank you, dear audience, for keeping us on the air. Thanks for listening. God bless y'all. See y'all next week. It'll be the 2nd of September, I believe. Good night, everybody.